Hello, saints. Sure is good to be back with you again. Let's go to the Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, for being with us today, helping us to get this message out, to keep people from getting into condemnation by their works. And Lord, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, bless us, Lord, with your presence. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, that's what I want to talk about today. And that is, don't let condemnation steal your faith. You know, there's only one way to the benefits of Christ, and it's faith. But there's a lot of people out there who won't take another route. They want to be justified by something that they do. They want to be justified by their works in order to partake of the benefits of Christ, and it's a lying deception of the devil. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The condition there is believing. And of course, the condition Jesus mentioned almost every time was faith. Faith is what gives us the power of God unto salvation. Now, that Greek word for salvation is soteria, as you probably already know, and that verb of soteria is sozo. And that we've discovered is translated differently in a lot of places. Even though it's always the word sovo, is translated as God saving us through deliverance, through salvation, through preservation, healing, provisions, and on and on. Sozo is used to mean salvation through all of those ways. We're saved through all of those ways. Now, we're told in this text here that Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto all of that provision of God to everyone that believes." So the condition there for us to partake of the benefits of God is, first of all, faith. The devil sometimes tries to, or he all the time tries to sidetrack us from that faith, because we're justified by our faith. We're not justified by our works, folks. But people try to earn the benefits of the kingdom, or they try to condemn people into working for the benefits of the kingdom, none of which are going to work. And a lot of people have been hurt and is separated from Christ through those things. Now, the text goes on to say in verse 17, "For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith." Or literally, it says from faith. Our life comes from faith. The benefits that we receive that comes through the grace of God all come from faith. We are to grow from faith unto faith, because the righteous shall live from faith. And our benefits of the kingdom, they come that way. Romans 5 and 1 says, "Being therefore justified by faith," that means accounted righteous by faith. And a lot of people are attempting to circumvent this by accounting that their righteousness comes through something that they believe, or something that they do, and they think they're going to receive the benefits of God because they believe this certain thing, or they do this certain thing. But it really is just faith in the promises of God that justifies us or counts us righteous. In order to have the benefits of God, you have to be accounted righteous first. Therefore, after repentance, the very first thing that we need is faith. Mark 1 and 14 says, "Now after John was delivered up, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe in the gospel." And so it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, "Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." It's just because we believe. Just because we believe, we are accounted righteous. We're justified, and we have peace with God. Even before we're fully obedient, even before we're walking in perfection, we have peace with God. Verse 1, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You see, our access to the grace of God, which is God's favor to provide for us all these benefits that we've been learning about, comes through grace. It all comes through God's favor, and God's favor comes through faith. We have our access into this grace through what? Our faith. Ain't nothing else going to give that to us but our faith. Well, somewhere along the line, most all of us have probably been caught up in seeking to be justified by some doctrine. Denominations seem to work that way. They teach that you are justified because of something you believe or something that you do that most other people don't. That's a silly trap of the devil to keep you from receiving the benefits of God. You can't grow that away. You're basically been separated from the body of Christ. Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions, and parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelries, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul said a sect or a division or a strife is a work of the flesh. You've been divided away from the people of God because you're self-righteous about something that you do. But of course, the other denominations have something that they do and you don't. So it just depends on what denomination you're in or what non-denominational denomination you're in concerning that foolishness with which the devil has deceived us, right? Because our access is always through faith. Well, what is faith? Jesus said in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive. Well, folks, as you already know, the literal translation is received. It's past tense. Receive them and you shall have them. And of course, most of your Bibles down on the footnote down at the bottom of the page, it has that receive is past tense. It's received or have received. And it don't make any difference which of the ancient manuscripts you look at, that word receive is always past tense. So faith is believing you have something on the grounds that God says you have it, not because you see it. He's telling you to believe you have received it before you even see it. And that's what faith is. And we're counted righteous because we believe something solely on the grounds that God said so. And of course, that faith gives us access to grace. Well, what's grace? Grace is God fulfilling that benefit or that promise to you by his power, since you ain't got no way to do it yourself. And as a matter of fact, this gift of faith totally negates any way that you would use to get that benefit or promise, because faith is believing you've already received it, right? Therefore, you can't go out and get it. You can't use your power, your methods to get it. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. And since faith is the assurance of things hoped for, while there's no evidence seen, all you're doing is claiming this gift on the grounds that it's already been given to you. For instance, if by whose stripes you were healed, what can you do to go get it? If you try to go get it by your own methods, by your money, by your intelligence or whatever, you prove that you don't believe the verse because God says it's already yours. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bear our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And Ephesians 2:8, for by grace have ye been saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. And as we've already seen, salvation in all forms has already been provided. All we have to do is believe and rest. It tells us that in Hebrews 4, 1 through 11. And let God go ahead and bring that manifestation. You know, God's a miraculous God. And as those of you who are entering into his rest already know, his provision is everywhere. You can't go into the deepest wilderness without receiving his provision, even if it falls out the sky, even if it comes out of a rock, even if it comes out of a fish's mouth. You can't get away from God's provisions if you will accept it by faith. But if you attempt to get God's grace any other way, you're going to fail. Now notice the verse reads, we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. That's the way grace comes. And you ain't going to talk God out of it. That's his method. Many people want to make rules and regulations, which they tell you that you have to keep in order for you to be justified. They want you to keep a part of the law, or they want you to keep a part of man's law, or they want you to do something in order to be justified before God so that God can answer your prayers. Justification is not by works of the law or works of man or special belief that you might have. Justification don't come out of way. Justification comes only through faith in the promises of God. That's faith. And faith is believing that you've received something that you hadn't yet manifestly received. Paul makes it pretty plain. He says in Romans chapter 4, verse 1, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, hath found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he had therefore to glory, but not toward God. And of course, if Abraham had been trying to be justified by his works and his works had failed him, then he would have been condemned. A lot of people do that. They trust in themselves. They trust in their own works to save them, and they fall under condemnation when those works fail. Well, there's ministries and ministers and doctrines that attempt to get people to change through the method of condemnation. Their method is to condemn you into doing something in order to be justified by God, so he can give you a benefit. But there ain't but one way to obtain grace, and that's through faith. And faith is the opposite of condemnation. One of the most common things that we see is where preachers will command their groups to stay away from doctors and medicine, so that they'll receive healing from God. But that's getting the cart before the horse. You're attempting to get God to do something for you by your works. That faith has to come first. If your works come first, that ain't faith. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. You see, there are your works and there are God's works. God's works come on the other end of faith and grace, and your works come before faith and grace. When it's your works, you're attempting to be accepted by God and to receive some benefit from God by something that you do. So when you hear a legalistic command like that, just remember it's coming from the devil. He wants to supplant the real method of God in your life. He wants to supplant the only method that works. Faith gives grace, and grace gives the benefit. Those apostate preachers are saying, no, if you do this, God's going to do this. In other words, you're trying to buy the benefits of God, as if he didn't pay a big enough price when he sacrificed his son, Jesus Christ. That don't make any sense, does it? And then there are other apostate leaders who want to put you under works of the law in order for you to be justified. In other words, they say that you have to keep the feast. Some of them say you got to keep the Sabbath, abstain from certain meats, pay your tithes, and on and on. And they tell you that you're not justified unless you do these things. These are deceivers, every one of them. They want to obtain the benefits of God by receiving justification through the works of the law. But it don't matter whether it's the works of the law or the commands of men. It makes no difference because it's the same lie. The truth is, you're only justified by faith. And if you're not justified, you don't get the benefit. In fact, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, God forbid, yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar. In other words, you're believing the truth. You're believing the word of God. That's what it means. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words, and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment. We definitely always want to prevail when we come into judgment, don't we? We want God's salvation there, whatever that need might be. If we need help, or if we need deliverance, or if we need a provision, all of it comes because of God's grace. And all of that grace comes because of his faith, which he puts into us. And so he tells you here that you can prevail when you come into judgment, if you just agree with what God's word says. Just believe what God says. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. He says, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. Romans 4 and 2 says, for if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not toward God. For what saith the scripture? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. That's it, folks. Believe God. It's not as if you're able to save yourself. It's not as if you're able to do the works of God. Remember, there's two different kinds of works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. That's the works of yourself. That no man should glory, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's God's works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. You see, faith gives you grace, and grace gives you God's works. Philippians 2 verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's one way his grace is manifested in us. He works in us to will and to do. You see, it's God's works. Salvation is God's works. And what causes God to do that in us? Faith, bringing grace, causes God to do that in us. Ain't none of your works is going to cause him to do it. You can't buy off God with any of your works. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, it said, for in Christ Jesus were we created for good works. And again, these are God's works. When you abide in him, you walk as he walked. That means his works are moving through you. So basically, salvation is God putting his will in us. You know, you don't have any problems when your will is the will of God, because you get everything you want. God does everything he wants to do, doesn't he? Our problem is that we have a will contrary to God, so there's a war. But God puts his will in us, and he gives us the capability to bring his will to pass. He works in us to will and to do, or to work, you see. That's God working in us, and it's not our works at all. So we're not justified by our works any more than Abraham was. We're justified by faith. Romans 4:4 says, now to him that works, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of debt. And this is talking about a person who has to go do something in order to please God, so that God can give them their benefit. Verse 4 says, now to him that worketh, the reward, or the answer to your need, is not reckoned as a grace, but as a debt. In other words, you're trying to go around grace, or you think you're going around grace. You can't go around grace, because without God's favor, you are only what you are, and you can't do anything more than what you are. You do what you are. But God's grace enables us to do what he is and not what we are. And because of our own nature, God has to reach in from the outside and change us from the outside. And what causes him to do that? Our faith. Your faith brings his favor to do that. The reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of debt. God ain't going to be our debtor. We're not going to be able to buy him off. Ain't going to be, no matter what we do, no matter what we believe, no matter what kind of a law we go back under. The law was righteous through works, justification through works. God rejected that. Romans 3:20 says, because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. So he's saying, by the works of the law shall no man be justified. Romans 4:5 says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Praise God. That's the hope. That's the good news right there. To him that worketh not. In other words, we don't have to be something that we're not. We can rest in God and his grace. His grace will bring us the manifestation and make us something that we're not. His grace will bring Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. Whew, glory to God. And we know that reconciliation means an exchange. Jesus has made reconciliation. He exchanged his life for my life. And what do I have to do to be like Jesus? All I have to do is look in the mirror and see him. All I have to do is accept by faith that this person I see in the mirror is now Jesus living in me. I no longer live, but Christ now lives in me. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. By faith, you're accepting the sacrifice of Jesus. And who's going to bring that to pass? God's going to bring that to pass by his grace, because you've given him your faith. It says, faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You're giving God a substance that he will use to make into the answer to your need. And that substance is what? It's faith. And because you were chosen by him, even before you knew him, he gave you the grace to receive the very first faith, for which you continue to receive grace. Psalm 65:4 says, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts." And that's grace to do and be whatever you need to be, because we know he has saved us. And as a Christian, if you need faith, ask him for it. For salvation in all forms is not by your works, but it's by his works in you. Romans 4:6 says, "Even as David also pronounces blessing upon the man unto whom God reckoneth righteousness apart from works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not reckon sin." Praise God for that blessing, right? Well, let's talk about a man who was having just that problem, and that was our brother Paul. Paul was feeling condemned because of his works. And since he was condemned, he didn't have any faith. And since he didn't have any faith, he didn't have any grace. And that's a terrible rut to be in until you lay hold on faith. He said in chapter 7 and verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." In other words, because of his very nature, he wasn't able to partake of the benefits of God. He was not capable of partaking of that benefit of God. He was telling us about his problem there, and he comes to the solution a little bit further down. Let's read on. Verse 15, "For that which I do, I know not. For not what I would, that do I practice. But what I hate, that I do." Well, to put it in a simple word, Paul was saying, "I'm doing what I don't want to do, and I don't know how to be saved from that circumstance." He hated his sin, but he was in it, and it was overcoming him. And he wasn't getting grace from God because he was feeling condemned. You know why? It's because when you're feeling condemned, what you're saying is, "I could do better, and I'm not." Now think about it. When you're under condemnation, you're thinking, "I could do better, or I should have done better, and I'm not." Well, you're reckoning that you are capable of pleasing God. And really, it's only God who's capable of pleasing God. His nature is the only thing that pleases him. Our nature doesn't please him. When you have condemnation, you don't feel justified by faith, and that's the problem. If you're justified by faith, you don't have condemnation. Condemnation only has one particular good use, Hebrews 10:26. "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and the fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries." Condemnation comes from willful disobedience. And Paul was saying, "The good that I would do, I do not. The good that I will to do, I do not. And the evil which I will not to do, that I am doing." You see, his will was totally set against his sin. So it wasn't a willful disobedience, but he had figured out the key to receiving the power from God to overcome. Well, what's the key? The key is faith. It's not justification by works. And Paul was proving that he was trying to be justified by works because of the condemnation he was feeling. He was proving that he was under the law, which was justification by works. But in the New Testament, we have no access to God or his benefits that way. And so the Judaizers who want to bring you back under the law and the legalists who want to bring you under their church laws or their doctrines are all separating you from Christ and from the benefits of God. There's no way for you to be any better than you are. You do what you are because it's your nature. We need the nature of God to be given to us through grace. And you don't get grace except by faith. Paul needed to know that he was justified by faith because he was condemning himself, proving that he thought he was justified by works. Romans chapter 7 and verse 16. But if what I would not that I do, I consent unto the law that it is good. And what he was saying was the law's good and I'm bad. But the New Testament, the New Covenant, teaches us that we're not bad anymore. Romans 6 and 11 says, even so reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. God made an exchange for your life, for his life. And you don't live anymore. Christ now lives in you. You see, as long as you're going to call yourself a sinner saved by grace, you're going to be a sinner. The truth is, that old sinner's dead. That's what Paul commanded us to believe in Romans chapter 6. The old man is dead, and now Jesus lives in us. Now, watch how your faith causes God to give you grace to bring it to pass. That's something you could never, ever do. God's going to do. He'll do it for you as a gift. He'll give it to you as a gift. You couldn't work your way to it. Never. If you were here a million years, you'd never get it. But God's going to give it to you as a gift. And he's not going to allow you to reach it any other way because he's not going to be your debtor. Romans 7, 17. So now is no more I that do it, but sin which dwells in me. Now, here's what he's saying. Since my will is against it, that proves that there are two entities here. My will is against this, but my flesh is doing it. He says, now, it is no more I that do it, but sin which dwells in me. We're schizophrenic when we desire to serve God, yet we walk in the flesh. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to do that which is good is not. For the good which I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I practice. In other words, the evil which I desire not to do, or wish not to do, or will not to do, that's what I practice. Verse 20, but if what I would not that I do, it is no more I that do it, but sin which dwells in me. Therefore, I, the one who wills not to sin, I am a son of God. I am righteous. That's the spiritual man who wills not to sin. But since Paul was continuing to sin because of his flesh, he said, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwells in me. Paul received the understanding that when he desired to do right, God separated him from the sinful man. God separated the righteous spiritual man from the sinful man of the flesh. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Well, you know, the old man has to die here. You're not trying to save the old man. He can't be saved anyway. It's your spiritual man who's saved. The one who is an eternal son of God. That spiritual man is growing in you. As the outer man is decaying, that inner man is being renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4 and 16 says, wherefore we faint not. But though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. That spiritual inner man is taking the territory. The Israelite is going in, he's taking the territory away from the Canaanite. That's the old man. The spiritual man is conquering the old man with the edge of the sword, taking his land, and our old life is his land. And as we walk by faith in God, that's what's happening because God's doing this in us. God said, I'm going to go before you. You go, you take up your sword, but I will conquer your enemies for you and I will give them into your hand. And that's what God's doing. He's given this old life into the hand of the spiritual man, and his sword is the word of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Romans 7:21 says, I find then the law that to me who would do good, evil is present. 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. 23. But I see a different law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity under the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death? Then he goes on to say in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Or as the numeric pattern reads, but thanks to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul's crying out, who's going to deliver me? He's looking for a Savior, and that's Jesus. That's his job. Thanks be to God. He's already done this for all of us. He's already accomplished it. Paul receives the revelation here that the sacrifice of Jesus already delivered him. And when you read on, you can see that he says in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I of myself with the mind indeed serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So faith in this revelation that the Lord has already delivered him out of the body of that death, already delivered him from his bondage to the sinful man, that's what's going to give Paul the grace he needs to walk away from that old man and to walk as Jesus walked. It's like the serpent on the pole in the wilderness. And I'm sure most of you remember the story. Numbers 21 and 5 says, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread and there is no water, and our soul loathes this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people died. Much people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a standard, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and set it upon the standard, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he looked unto the serpent of brass, he lived. And the solution came when anyone who had been bitten got their eyes off of the bite and onto the serpent on the pole, then they were healed. They got their eyes off the problem and on the solution. They quit looking inward, started looking upward. Well, folks, guess what? We've been snake bit. That's the problem. This old man is a serpent, and he is the son of the serpent. We've been snake bit, and the poison of that serpent is in us. And the solution is for us to see that Jesus, who became sin for us, was crucified on that pole, on that cross, and now we're free. We died with him. We were delivered. We were healed. We were provided for, because all the things that are included in salvation were given to us at the cross. So we have to get our eyes off the problem and then put them on the solution. So what does condemnation do instead? Well, condemnation gets your eyes on yourself. And then that separates you from God. And as I've mentioned, condemnation does have one good use, and that's when you're in willful disobedience. But when you're like Paul and you're not in willful disobedience, when you desire the power of God, you just don't know the way to reach it, then condemnation is detrimental to your life because it separates you from Christ. Condemnation tells you you should have done better. And that's the very opposite of look at Jesus. He's already done it for you. And as a matter of fact, Paul goes on to say in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Using condemnation to force a person to change is called legalism and is doomed to failure. If you're under condemnation, you will receive no power from God to change. Condemnation, of course, is the opposite of faith. Faith gives grace. Grace gives the benefit. But again, if you're under condemnation, it's either because you feel justified by works or you feel not justified by works. You got a wrong relationship with God. Instead of a relationship of faith, it's a relationship of self-works. Some of you are trying to change people through condemnation. That ain't going to work. Listen, you have to put faith in a person's heart. Condemnation will cause them to look inward. Condemnation will cause them to get their eyes off the serpent on the pole and back on the snake bite. And the only thing they'll ever have there is the curse. But if you put faith in that person's heart, they're going to have grace and they'll have the benefit of the kingdom. So what we have to do is put faith in their heart. We have to speak encouragement to people. We have to speak the promises of the Word of God to people. We have to help them accept freely who they are in Christ Jesus. And once they accept that they are righteous in Christ because they're justified through faith, then they can receive the benefit as a gift. Paul continues, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. What put Paul in Christ Jesus? Well, the only thing you can see from the text is that Paul believed Jesus was the solution. And of course, that's true. Jesus was the solution and Jesus is the solution. He's already given us the benefit. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16 says, yet knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we believed on Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. What he's doing, he's saying the same thing over and over there, isn't he? Paul wants this to come across because this is real important. People are seeking to be justified by various self-works of keeping Sabbaths or paying tithes or keeping the feast or not eating meats and so on and so forth. And I mentioned one fallacy that is very detrimental and destructive. And that is, well, if I don't go to the doctor, God will heal me. If I don't take my medicine, God will heal me. No. You're getting a cart again before the horse. That's justification by your works. You're saying God will give you the grace because of your works. But he's not going to do that. It has to be by faith. Have you already been healed? Of course you have. That's what the Bible says. So if you believe that you've already been healed, that's faith. And what do you receive for that? You receive God's grace. And what does the grace do? It causes you to walk in the benefits of God. And if you want to walk in the benefits, the grace for the ability to do that has to come from God. Now remember, there are two kinds of works. There are your works, which come before faith. There are God's works, which are a fruit of faith. God's works in you are what will cause you to walk in perfection before the Lord. James spoke about faith being made perfect through works in James chapter 2, verse 22. Thou seest that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Well, what works was he talking about? Philippians 2 and 13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. James was talking about God's works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, For by grace have ye been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. And that's talking about your works. That no man should glory. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. In other words, these works are his works because you are in him. And so he says here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, for it is God who works in you. It's God working in you, and folks, that's grace. Both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That's what we need. And that right there is real salvation. All those other things people tell you that you can do in order to receive the benefits of God are just a cheap substitute, and they don't work. It has to be by faith. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law. Well, how do you know if something is a work of the law? You know it's a work of the law because there's a condemnation involved. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. See, you can't get out from under the curse when you're seeking to be justified by your works. There ain't no way out. You're under the curse of the law. It doesn't matter if it's the Old Testament law or man's law or your law. You're still under a curse because your works are coming before your faith. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. So, if you want to seek to be justified by anything you do, you got to do everything God wants. And that's the only way you could be justified, and that ain't possible. It's not possible because your fallen nature is not going to permit that. We need grace. We need unmerited favor from God to make us into something that we're not. And you can only do what you are. And so God has to make you into that something else. And only faith brings the grace for that. Verse 11. Now that no man is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous shall live by faith. And if you'll notice, there's only one way to have God's life, and that's to live by faith. That life is a free gift from God through faith. And he don't give that gift just to anybody. He only gives that gift to people who believe. That's the condition. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 29. According to your faith, be it done unto you. And then chapter 8, verse 13, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee, as Jesus said. For all of God's benefits, that's the condition. And if a person doesn't believe, they won't receive. And they'll go on in their self-works and die under the curse. You see, the righteous shall live by, or literally from, faith. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 12, and the law is not of faith. There is no law that man can put you under to make you righteous, because none of that is faith. And it goes on and says, but he that doeth them shall live in them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. You see, the Lord put our curse upon Jesus, and we're not under the curse of the law. We don't have to obey the law in order to be justified. Now, if we walk by faith, God's going to give us grace. And that grace will cause the law to be fulfilled in us. Fulfilling the law is not the same thing as being under the law. To be under the law is to be under a curse. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who continues not in all things that are written in the book of law to do them. The law is the letter. It's a parable. And only the Spirit fulfills the letter. It is being fulfilled in spirit in you who walk by faith in him. James chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, if a man say he hath faith, but have not works?" Now, what works are these? These are the works that come from faith. Not the works that come before faith. Those are your works. When you believe, God gives grace for you to do His works. And some people want to take the book of James out of their Bible. They insist that it's a false doctrine because they say, no, we're not justified by work. And they don't understand that there are two kinds of works. There's God's works, which are the fruit of faith, and there are your works, and those aren't acceptable. Verse 14 says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, if a man say he hath faith, but have not works? Can that faith save him? And if a brother or sister be naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Go in peace, be ye warmed and filled, and yet ye give them not the things needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself." If God's works don't come from your faith, then your faith is not His faith. There is a mental assent which is not God's faith and doesn't believe you have already received. Because faith is calling the things that are not as though they were. Faith is believing you have received. And people say, "I believe, I believe." But when you ask them if they believe they have received, you find out they don't, because their actions prove that they don't believe that they have received. And their words prove that they don't believe they have received. So it's not faith. That kind of faith can't bring forth God's works, because it's not faith at all. There's an old saying that goes, "Faith that fizzles out at the finish had a flaw in it from the first." The truth is, it's not faith. If it's not bringing forth God's works, it's not faith. Verse 18, "Yea, a man will say, Thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I by my works will show thee my faith." You know, people do think that they can show you their works apart from their faith, but the works of God manifested through man only comes because of true faith. And that faith comes only by His grace. Ain't nobody can brag. Nobody can. And he goes on to say in verse 19, "Thou believest that God is one, thou doest well. The demons also believe and shudder. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren or unfruitful?" True faith will give you the works of Jesus as a free gift. Verse 21, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works, in that he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Thou seest that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect." Faith is made perfect by works, folks. When you have faith, are you justified before the works? Yeah. As we previously studied up in Romans 4, you're justified. You're accounted righteous. You see, when you have faith, even before the works perfect the faith, you are accounted righteous. And when you're accounted righteous, then you're entitled to the benefit that grace brings. So faith brings grace, and grace brings the works of God in your life. And that's pretty neat, the way God has it planned. People like to turn that around and put the cart before the horse, but God ain't going to accept that. You're separated from Jesus and you're separated from grace if you do that. So what do we need to do for people to enable them to overcome? We need to put faith in them, not condemnation. And how do you put faith in them? You speak the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You speak the word of God to them, and you call the things that are not as though they were. Don't attribute their failures to them. Don't attribute their stumbling to them. Help them to take their eyes off themselves and get their eyes on the Lord. Help them to see that He already took it away, He took away that sinful nature and he nailed it to the cross. And now they got Jesus' nature. And this will cause a person to overcome. If instead of putting faith in them and letting that faith bring them the grace to change, you put them under condemnation to force them to change, the only thing that you're going to make there is a Pharisee. They're going to feel like that they're justified and that they're righteous because of something that they've done or something that they believe. We are righteous because of something God did. We're righteous because we believe in something he already accomplished, not in something that we could do. Well, faith is the foundation for salvation. But we're going to be judged by our works. Every place in the Bible where Jesus talks about coming back and judging his people, he's judging them for one thing, and that's their works. Why? It's because your works are proof of your faith. And if you don't have the works of God, it proves that you have not been walking in the faith of God. So is God judging our faith? Yeah. He's judging our faith by our works. And he said, and I, by my works, will show thee my faith. And what we need to do above all things is encourage one another. We need to share with one another what the Lord has done and not what we need to do. If you get your eyes on yourself, you're going to become withdrawn and feel rejected. But if you get your eyes off of yourself and on the Savior, you're going to be someone who walks by faith. You walk by faith in what he has already accomplished on that cross. You walk in faith by what he has given to you by bearing your curse. That's what delivered Paul out from under his problem with condemnation. He said, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. You'd think there would be condemnation if I'm sinning and I'm falling or failing, but not if you're justified by faith. Because you see, God wants to give righteousness to you as a free gift. You don't deserve it. And you know what? Condemnation comes because you think you should deserve it. Or in other words, I have to do better so God would accept me. No. The only one who can do better is God himself. And he wants to give it to you as a free gift, and he wants you to know it is a free gift. Because it's not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. He will not accept your buying any of his benefits. And the condemnation that comes through legalism separates God's people from him, from his power, and from his benefits. And it separates us from grace, his unmerited favor. So get out there and encourage people by faith, and you'll see a lot of changes. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this message today, and we ask, Father, that you carry it forth and let people be set free from works of themselves. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All right, folks, we're out of time. God bless you. We'll see you next time, God willing.